Jess in with you this morning. It's time to catch up with Singleton at Council. And today, Jason Lane, the General Manager, joins me on this gorgeous sunny Wednesday morning. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm going terrific, Jess. You couldn't be anything but. Got up early this morning, went for a walk around town. Very foggy.
Yeah.
A little bit crisp, but what a beautiful day it's turned out to be.
Oh, the weather is absolutely stunning. As we said before we got on air, these days are definitely the days to finish work and go outside rather than, you know, go inside like we did in winter and sort of not go out anywhere.
Yeah, I feel guilty on days like this if I'm not outside. I'm not outside in the garden or going for a walk or whatever else it may be because it's just beautiful. I'm sitting here in my office now looking out the window and all the plane trees and liquid amers are all getting their leaves coming back on board. It's a wonderful time of year. It's still good.
Oh, nice. No, 100%. Now, on Sunday, you guys had a bit of an information pop-up session at Townhead Park for the Arts and Culture Centre that you're going to be building there. How did it go?
Yeah, it was so good, Jess. The markets are on down Townhead Park as well, so we thought we'd tap in and leverage off that. And it was wonderful. We had so many people just drop in and talk to our staff, get an appreciation of what the project really entails, but also, more importantly, provide their feedback. And we have some terrific ideas, a really positive vibe. People can really see and really appreciate what our plans are for Townhead Park and the role that the Arts and Cultural Centre will play in adding to that. It is absolutely becoming a destination. It amazes me every time I drive past there just how many people are either in the Visitor Information Centre or at the cafe or on the playground. And when we put the Arts and Cultural Centre in, that's just going to be amplified. So, really exciting time for us. And, yeah, as I said, some terrific ideas, some really good names being thrown up, some really good ideas to work with our traditional owners to come up with names as well, and just suggestions about what sorts of activities and exhibitions we could have, things from local history, wine, mining, agriculture, military, local Aboriginal stories, travelling exhibitions, workshops, kids' activities, you name it. It's the ideas that have been thrown at us have been so encouraging for us, and it really demonstrates that people of Singleton see how important this facility is for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. So remind us what the timeline is for this project at the moment.
Yeah, so we're looking for people to give us their suggestions on activities and exhibitions and naming by the end of this month, by the 30th or 9th, so they can jump on our website and they can participate in that, or https://mysay.is.townhead.park. So that's for the 30th and 9th, but the actual project itself, we're at final design. The architects are just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. We've been working with our Disability Access Committee, making sure we cover off on all of that. We've done all the QS work, and we're about to launch the tender. We're aiming to have it to Council, I think, in November. November or December to adopt the tender for the project. So we'll hook into the work early parts of 2021, with completion being slated for the Q3 of 2021.
Fantastic stuff. Now, this next one, Jason, you guys have been doing some stuff with the emergency services down in the Putty Valley, and particularly at the moment you're looking at, I guess, ahead of the next bushfire season particularly, and for any emergency that may happen down there where emergency vehicles have to get in and out of places, is that there's a lot of properties and houses that don't have a rural address?
Yeah, it is. It's surprising across our state how prevalent this situation is. I know where I worked previously, Port Stevens, we done a major project, a rural addressing project, because we had the exact same problem. And it really comes down to the fact that when our emergency services are dispatched to an emergency, whether it's the fireys or whether it's RFS or whether it's ambulance or police, they rely on good property addressing to be able to locate where they're going to. At the moment, down the Putty, we have over 120 properties.
Yeah.
We don't have any authority to address. And there's several roads that aren't officially named.
So far out,
yes. It's surprising in 2020 that'd be the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
But rest assured, Singleton people and the Putty people, it's not just us. This is a widespread problem. But we're so fortunate that our RFS is such a wonderful group of people. They're working closely with us and with our community down the Putty to go through a process to name the roads, and be able to get it all approved through the Geographical Names Board so that information will then be contained within the relevant system so that when we do have an event in the future, our emergency services know where they're going, can get there in the quickest time as possible. So
yeah, exactly.
We've got a number of suggested names out there at the moment, but we're asking the community, especially those who live down there and are paid, to provide their feedback by the 30th of September. They jump online and go to our public exhibition component of our website. They'll see the interactive map, and they can make their submission from there. So really encourage people to do it. Again, this has been wonderful in that how well we've been able to interact with our community on this project. So, again, demonstrates we do need to work with our community, and we're very open to that.
Yeah, exactly. And last this morning, Jason, I've noticed on the Singleton Council Facebook page over the last week, there've been a few issues with water pipes breaking and all sorts of things.
Yeah, Murphy's Law, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it rains, pardon the pun, when it rains, it floods.
Yeah.
But a couple of things, I suppose, in response to this one is that, first of all, we know that our water and sewer network needs a lot of attention, needs a lot of love. In the past decade, 15, 20 years, we haven't spent enough money on making sure we're rehabilitating our water and sewer network. And it only becomes obvious when it doesn't work. And then we all realise how important our water and sewer infrastructure is. So, as I've mentioned to you a number of times before, we've got a major investment program which we commenced last year and into this year and will carry on the next few years to rehabilitate our water mains, rehabilitate our sewer network, our pump sheds, all those pump stations, all those types of things. So we did have a bit of a run yesterday, but our guys, we have wonderful staff, and they were out on the job as quick as possible and fixing it up. We had some really good feedback from our customers as well about how we can improve our comms during these times. So we'll take that on board and we'll work hard at that. But another really interesting one that's sort of raising its head is we've had a few people talk to us. I haven't experienced it myself at this point in time. We've had a few people talk to us about having a bit of an earthy taste in the water, a bit of a musty taste, a bit of a smell. Yes, it sounds bad, doesn't it?
It doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't. What I can give everyone absolute assurance on is that our water and our testing is always consistently meeting and compliant with Australian drinking water guidelines. So people don't need to worry about it being a safety issue. Our water's good to drink, it's good to use for all our normal purposes. There's a bit of a naturally occurring compound that sort of comes around on a seasonal basis. It's geosmin, or another one called MIB, and I cannot pronounce for the life of me what MIB stands for, so I'm not even going to try. They are naturally occurring, and they do sort of produce that earthy taste and that little bit of an odour. Again, stress to people, no need to worry about it. It's completely safe. Our noses and our taste buds can detect these compounds at very low concentrations. It is seasonal. And unfortunately, it can't be removed by any of the common or normal water treatment processes. So we've just got to put up with it for a period of time for those that are experiencing it. A good tip is, if you put your water in a jug or put it in the fridge, it can help reduce those odours and those tastes if you're experiencing that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I guess at least the good part is that you've tested the water and it's all to along the drinking guidelines, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, we, like every other water authority, there's stringent testing guidelines that we need to follow.
Yeah.
And there's no concerns for us there.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Jason, heaps going on as always. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jess. Always great to talk to you. Have a great day, and same to all the listeners.